Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome again to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Yeah, with me, Dr. Beverly. I'm so excited to gather with you once again. We're going to be talking about this year, 2015, promised to be a year that we will never forget. Now, remember what this show is about, real people sharing real stories about great faith for their trials, through their trials and tribulations. But this show is a little different. This show, since we are zeroing in on what the promises are for this year, 2015, we have with us a dynamic gentleman, a Dr. David Herzog. I know many of you have heard of him, but he is going to share with us the prophetic word that the Lord has placed in his heart to share to for all of us, so that we know what to expect. And he's also going to share what we can do to align ourselves up with that. So let me tell you a little bit about our Dr. David Herzog. So number one, he is the founder of David Herzog Ministries. Now that's based in a beautiful Sedona, Arizona, and beautiful it is. Now David is a dynamic speaker. He's a best-selling author, and he's appeared on numerous TV and radio shows and broadcasts. Now, he moves in creative miracles, healing signs and wonders worldwide, but with a fresh revelation as well, and equipping believers to operate in the glory and the power of God. He has a lovely wife. So Stephanie is her name. And they have seen together multitudes saved and equipped in practically every continent and over 50 nations. Now, David has a passion. And he said that his passion is to live in the presence and the glory of God through intimacy with God and in the Holy Spirit, and to bring the gospel to as many souls as possible in every nation of the world. Now, I must tell you, he has been in ministry, he and his wife, for over 22 years, and many, many countries have they done their work, called by the Lord, to bring those souls in from Canada to Jamaica, Trinidad, Aruba, Mexico, Guatemala, Peru, Argentina, Switzerland, Belgium. I don't have time to mention them all. But if you go on his website, that he will provide that information later, you're going to be equipped with exactly the things that he has done, many things that he's offered, and the countries that he has visited on the behalf of the Lord. So, without further ado, let's check in and make sure our Dr. David Herzog is in the studio with us. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Great to be here.
Yay. Well, we're excited to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, what you may not know is he just arrived back in the United States. Was it a day ago, did you say, a day and a half ago?
I arrived not last night, but the night before.
Okay, and coming from where?
I was in Zurich, Switzerland, and then England right before that speaking.
Oh, my. So we are very excited and privileged to have him here on the air. So glad that you're here. Now, if you don't mind, this prophecy is truly action-packed, so we're not going to make any delays. What do you say? Shall we get started?
Let's shall.
Okay. Well, you know, I have to ask you, though, before we get into the gist of it. It says that, David, you've been in ministry for 22 years.
Almost 24, actually.
24, okay.
Almost
and 24. You look like you're in your 30s, so when did the Lord start using
you? You're my friend.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. But I think you did start young, though. Did you not, when you first, the Lord touched you?
Yeah, I started preaching when I was 3 days old. It was really an interesting sign of wonder. No, I'm kidding. No, I was.
No, you're not.
No, I was saved. I was saved when I was 10 years old. Filled the Spirit at 13. Went to Bible school and then went to the mission field when I was, 23. Went to the mission field at 23 years old. Started preaching about 22, 21, 22. When I finished Bible school, and then in field for 12 years. From there, went all around the world. So it's kind of, I just kind of started young. And I didn't want to waste any time, so just went for it.
Well, you didn't. But my gosh, what do you do as parents when you have a child so gifted as yourself?
Well, it kind of grows. It wasn't always how it is right now. You know, you grow up and you learn. Like, for instance, they had me teach Sunday school and I was like 16 or 17, I can't remember, and they said, here, do the Sunday school. So read this manual and you tell the kids this, this, and this and read the story to them. So we did that for a few Sundays and I got kind of bored with it. So then one day I said, is anybody sick here? Because I wanted to practice and see how healing works. And this girl goes, well, my one leg is shorter than the other. I have scoliosis. I go, well, I saw someone do this one time. Let's just try this. So this is my first miracle. So I said, put your legs out. And it was a really big difference between the left and right leg. And all these little kids are there looking at them. They're really small kids, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, 10 max. And I closed my eyes. I missed my first miracle. And I said, Jesus' name, grow. And everyone started screaming. The whole leg just boom, majorly grew out. And they couldn't believe it. And it was, oh, my gosh, you know. So I kind of went off what I was supposed to teach that day, because I got bored teaching the typical thing that they want us to teach. And I just went by the Spirit. And that's when I started realizing, wow, this is awesome, you know. And I think a lot of people, if they would just practice it, the Word of God, and just try, they would see amazing things as well. Because I hate to say it's just a gift, because a lot of things you can grow into. The Bible does say heal the sick. It doesn't say only those who are gifted. But I notice over the years it increases and it strengthens the more you use it. It's kind of like you use it or you lose it. If you don't practice it, like the prophetic or healing, or it's like with anything, or even with sports, or exercise. If you don't exercise after, you know, you don't do any exercise for 2 years or 10 years, you know, it's not going to be as good as if you do it all the time. Your gift grows and your faith grows in it.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true. And it's really encouraging. It really isn't that complicated. Our Father, it really isn't that complicated. He just wants someone that will believe him and trust
exactly.
him.
Yeah, but then what people do is they'll say, oh, David, he's incredible. He can do this. So they kind of relegate it to, well, you just have a special gift. And I tell them, not really, because I've taught people how to do this stuff that never did it, and suddenly they were amazed that they could heal the sick or they could prophesy or they could. So in time, it gets sharper and sharper and sharper, and it increases. So, but, of course, there are gifts, of course. There are some that have gifts of this or that. But I tell people, like, you don't have to be a prophet to at times get a prophetic word or a prophetic dream. You don't have to be in the office of an evangelist to lead someone to the Lord. So you can still move in these things without necessarily it being your gift. Does that make sense?
That's right. And that is exciting, because the times that we're in right now, the Lord wants to use everyone. Everyone that is willing to have an ear to hear, to listen, and just believe and obey. He's wanting to use everyone. And quite frankly, David, he needs all of us, don't you think?
Exactly. Yeah, in fact, it's not going to happen. The great harvest will not happen unless everyone's being used. It can't just be a few big speakers that come and do a big stadium event. That's not going to be the actual final harvest outpouring. It's going to be all hands on deck. Everyone's going to be doing their job, basically. There will be those. There'll be stadiums. There'll be all those things. But it'll also be the everyday people. I remember in Argentina, when their revival there was in full swing, you know, they had the big speakers, big churches, but basically everybody, from what I heard the documentary, everybody would get off work, go to church, win their friends to the Lord, heal the sick, come back to church. So it's like the average everyday Joe was doing the job, and more souls were getting saved from the average people leading their friends to the Lord than even the big stadiums.
Look at that. And that's what is ahead of us. That's why I wanted to have you on to talk about this prophecy, because everyone needs to be on board and equipped with what is being foretold so that they can understand that they too are a part of what the Lord has coming and what it is that he is calling us all to do. So let's talk about that. You said this is a year of opportunity with major shifts and breakthrough. And I really love this. Do you know, I don't even know whether you noticed, that it's broken down into 8 prophetic segments. 8 segments.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Well, and of course, 8 is new beginning. So here we are. We're going to be talking about, look at that, see? Now, here we are. We're going to be talking about a year of opportunity with major shifts and breakthroughs. There are 8 segments, and 8 means new beginning. So I'm going to go over the 3 bullets that David started with. And then what I will do, David, is I'll name those the segments, and then you elaborate on that. How about that?
Perfect.
Okay. Well, David said that this is a year full of opportunity. And he said many things will shift worldwide in ways they never have before, which will also create new opportunities. He said many things that did not seem to break through last year will begin to break through this year if you keep believing in faith. Now, the first segment he spoke about was smoke screens, and the very first words was the enemy. Smoke screen. So, David, what is a smoke screen?
Smoke screen is what I call it, false evidence appearing real, or fear. So you're about to get your breakthrough, so the enemy has to do something to get you not to go there. So he brings something, an urgent situation. You get a phone call, or the doctors say, oh, you have cancer, or someone is saying they're going to sue you, or just anything to get you off track and to get you, you know, freaking out, and, oh, my gosh. And a lot of times, if you come in agreement with that, oh, I guess this is true. I guess we lost this. Oh my gosh, I guess I have no more money. I guess I'm getting fired. It looks like I lost all my, you know, whatever it is. A lot of times, if you agree with it, like, oh, I guess that's what happened, then it seals it. But you get a bad report. A lot of times you have to it almost looks like you're in denial, but you're not. You have to go, no, I don't agree with that. I think that's a smoke screen. And so many times I've seen that happen where actually it fizzled out and it wasn't as bad or as big of a deal as it appeared to be. But if you put faith in that, wow, oh my gosh, this is happening. What am I going to do? It actually magnifies it, and it's like faith in reverse starts to create. So the enemy, he can't stop God's plan for your life unless he can get you to mentally and faith-wise agree with what he's putting in front of you. Because, you know, faith creates. But the enemy can get you to put faith in something opposite, then he's got you. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. He couldn't force them, so he tried to get them to come in agreement with him. So basically, right before your greatest breakthrough, it can look like the opposite is happening, a smoke screen. Don't come to agreement with it. Don't say, oh, I guess we lost this one. Just say, no, I don't care what I see or what I hear. The Word of God says this. God has promised me this. And you stand your ground. And if you just stand your ground, even if you can't gain any more ground, just stand your ground, things will begin to shift back in your favor.
You know, I love that. I love that smoke screen. And it sounds like, David, it sounds like when you're close to the breakthrough, You almost need to expect the enemy to come at you with a smokescreen. It's strategic.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you look back at your life, you go, oh, that's true. That's so many times this happened, that happened, and I almost made a mistake. Or almost, a lot of times we pull out right before the finish line. There was a smokescreen. We didn't realize we were one step more and we would have had the victory, and we gave up one step before. You know, they see that people dying in the desert. You know, sometimes they'll say, like, oh, they were only, like, you know, a 15-minute walk from water, and they gave up right before, you know. So basically, it's never give up.
Never give up. And I think the other thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is, as David says, never give up. We have to remember that the devil and his cohorts are our enemy. They're the enemy. And this is a war. And in war, there's battles. And in battles, you have to fight. He says that the enemy will try to make it look like you have lost in certain battles you've been fighting. And he said, never give in to the devil and never give in to agreement with the enemy. So if you take that to heart and know that the closer you get to your promise, as David said, there's a smokescreen. The devil is our enemy. This is war. He doesn't want what the Lord has promised to you. He doesn't want you to achieve that. So he is going to try to deceive you, to deceive yourself into speaking against your own promise. So,
exactly.
As David said, watch out. Watch out for the smokescreen.
And I like what you said about speaking, because then if you think it, then eventually you're right. You will begin to speak the defeat. So first your mind, whatever enters your mind, don't let any thought that's not of God come in. Immediately take it captive, say, no, I don't receive that. And then speak, keep speaking. So thoughts and speaking what you're believing God said he's going to do. That's real key.
I think we also have to kind of get radical about this, huh, David? You know, some people are concerned someone's going to hear me. Well, you know what? You know, I don't know about everyone else, but this journey has been quite a journey. And at this point, I don't care if anyone hears me speaking and holding my ground. I think it has to get to a point, David, don't you think, that we get radical about what we want?
Yeah, you have to get radical. You know, Paul said, lay aside every weight and run the race. So sometimes that means fasting and praying. That means praising and worshiping for hours in your room. That means, you know, bombarding your mind with the promises, the scriptures, the revelation. You know, it's like, do you want to win a gold medal or do you want to barely, you know? So if you do win a gold medal, you have to lay it, you have to train and you have to do everything you can. It's how bad do you want to win? That's kind of what I tell people. Are you willing to give this up if this would mean you would get the victory in this area? Usually they would say yes. But then why don't people do it? Because they don't really believe the sacrifice they make is going to make a difference anyway. So that's kind of what it comes down to. And also, it's, the next one is persevering faith, where, well, we pray, we didn't see a quick result. We prayed last night, I didn't see a victory today, so I guess it's not God's will. Or then they start, you know, double-guessing and doubting, kind of like in the Garden of Eden. Did God really tell you? You know. So persevering faith is the next one. A lot of things happen by faith quickly, but some things take perseverance in faith, where it's like arm wrestling. You have to hold your ground and the pressure. And I always say this to people. I say, well, either you're going to give up or the devil's going to give up. So put such a resistance that if you say, if I die, I die, but I'm not giving up. And eventually the enemy loosens his grip. The only time I've ever lost a battle that I can remember is if I gave up too early.
I like that. I've known many times in my own life that, you know, I'm a woman of faith, but it had several times gotten to down to an arm wrestle, driving exactly what you said, down to an arm wrestle. You know, I'm not giving up. The enemy's not going to give up, and you can't give up either. So I like what he said, that we have to persevere with our faith. Like he said, we either want the gold medal or we don't. You also talked in this segment, David, about locking in with someone to help you during this time. And how important do you think it is to connect with someone under the power of agreement to pray with you, to help you stand, to help you stay strong when you...
Sorry, I cut you off. I thought you were stuck. It's really key. You know, sometimes you can just pray a lot of things on your own and God does it. But sometimes when you have a huge battle, like, wow, this thing is not budging, this thing is not moving, that means you need some extra help. You need, you know, two more gather in my name. It's kind of like a midwife. Sometimes you need a midwife to help push the baby through the birth canal. And that's kind of what it is. So you get people to pray through. And a lot of times the bigger battles, it's not so much the little things, it's the Goliaths in your life, the principalities, the powers. You're going for something big. You need, like this last summer in Finland, we did a national event. I preached in the Olympic Stadium. So we had national secular coverage and media, but we had a lot of warfare that matched the big thing we were doing. So we had to get a lot of people to pray, fast, intercede, to break through so we could have a national impact. That wasn't something that just on my own, even I could fast and pray, but I needed a lot of people behind me. And in that country, over here, everywhere, to break through, because basically we were dealing with a principality over a nation. Now, we're not just doing a little weekend meeting, or this is huge, and secular, you know, I have to go all these secular, like the nightly news, or stuff that was equal to our New York Times of Finland, even American Idol, what we have here, they have their own kind of version of American Idol. I had to go on that show, and they're 100% anti-God, anti-Christian, the secular, and trick questions, and I had to really have prayer to be able to have supernatural wisdom, and it all worked out great, actually. God used it great. But so sometimes, if it's the biggest thing you've ever done, you can't do it on your own. You know, even Esther told the whole nation to fast and pray because she's going to go to the king to try to stop the edict to destroy all the Jews. She knew on her own it wasn't enough, though she prayed and fasted. She asked the entire nation of Israelites to fast and pray. So sometimes when you're going for your biggest breakthrough, you have to humble yourself and ask others to help you and pray. People don't want to do that sometimes because they want to show, oh, I'm always strong. I have this reputation. I don't want anyone to think I'm weak. I need help. So it's humility to ask others to help you pray for stuff.
That is so important that you mentioned that. Thank you so much, David, because sometimes people think that, you know, if you're someone that travels the world and you hold conferences and you bring people into stadiums and you're bringing 100,000 to the stage, your soul's being saved as the Lord works through you, that you're doing it all by yourself and you don't need help from anyone. And that simply isn't true. As David said, it's not true. We all need help. We all need prayer. We all have to push. We all have to press in. David, what about number three? Thankfulness and praise.
That's awesome. That's my favorite, one of my favorite ones. So no matter how bad the situation looks, still praise, thank God, do a dance in your room. Act like you've got the victory, because what it is, you have the victory biblically, spiritually. You have the promise of the victory. And in the glory realm, there's no time. So you're in the present time. The future is the victory. But in the spirit, when you're in the spirit, there isn't any real time. I mean, Jesus said, for the joy set before him, endure the cross, as if he already seen the victory. So when you praise God, it propels you into the future victory and brings it into the now. And what happens is the enemy gets confused, because when you go into the praise and worship, that puts you in another dimension. And when you're in that dimension, the enemy sees you're already there in the future, because in the spirit there's no real past, present, future. You're already there. And then he has to release it. So it magnifies and speeds up and accelerates like crazy the promise. You praise him as if you already got it, because you already did, biblically, and it brings that to now. So I don't know if that makes sense, because we live in a time world. You know, it takes 3 hours to drive here, or you have to go there. But when you praise and worship, we know in heaven there's no time. There's no time. Time was put on the earth. When you worship God, you go. Your spirit actually goes into a heavenly realm, where it's timeless. And then from that realm, you thank God because it's already done. It is finished. Jesus said on the cross. And then you take that "it is finished" realm back down to your present situation, and it fast forwards you into the victory. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. And my David, that's amazing. I've always heard, and of course, spoken many times myself, because I too am a praise and worshiper, that praise is a weapon. But this is the first time I've heard it explained so explicitly that you're literally catapulted into the future in the spirit realm where your victory is.
Exactly. So if we give it by the spirit more than the flesh, then we – well, in heaven, like if you walk into heaven right now, let's say you had a cancer. You walk into heaven, how long would it take for the cancer to go? You'd be gone immediately because there's no sickness in heaven. You have no debts in heaven. You have no. So when the Bible says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it didn't say as it's going to be when you get to heaven, as it is now in heaven, because you are seated in heavenly places, meaning you can go up and down. Your spirit goes up. Paul said, I knew a man who went to third heaven. So basically your spirit man, you come boldly to the throne, that's in heaven. So when you're in the spirit, and how do you get in the spirit? One of the ways is praise and worship. See, the earth is, time is governed by the sun and moon and stars. So you have 12 hours of daylight, you know, then the moon's out, you have night. Genesis says the sun for daylight and the moon is for night. But in heaven, there is no, you don't need a sun, you don't need a moon. There's no darkness. So when you get into the heavenly realm, you go above the time realm, above our solar system, way above the galaxies, heavenly realm. But your body's still on the earth, kind of like an invisible cord there. And so your spirit goes up, grabs stuff from the heavenly realm, and brings it down into your 3D realm here on the earth. Does that make sense?
It does. And what
and so
we really want everyone
to
understand
to
is, David, let me interject with this real quick, and then if you'll go back to that statement that you were just saying, that because it's really important, David's trying to get you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there is more to what you see. This natural realm is only one realm. And this is the realm where it's time. But as a spirit-filled being, as a spirit being, what's truly natural to you is the spirit realm. So if you listen to him explain this once more, then what you'll start to work on is how to be more comfortable in your spirit realm than the natural realm that you live in. Can you go over that one more time, David?
Yeah. You want to live in the spirit realm because the spirit realm is more natural than the earthly realm. Everything you see with your eyes and feel is actually created from the spirit realm. So if what you're looking at, a table, food, a desk, trees, if all that was created from the invisible spirit realm, then the invisible spirit realm is the real realm that created everything. So if you get to the original realm, the spirit realm, then you can see things created in your life much faster than trying to deal with the secondary, lower-level, earthly realm. So living in the spirit realm is like a greenhouse. Everything ripens faster the more you're in the spirit, the more you're praying, the more you're in the Word, the more your mind is on God. Then when you do pray, it's like if, let's say, a level 1 to 10, if you have a level 2 prayer life, you're just barely, you know, even praying, and you try to cast a demon out, it's going to, you know, you try to, it just doesn't have as much punch, so things don't break through. But you're like on a level 8 or 9. You're in the spirit all the time. You're worshiping. You're just flowing. It's so fast when you speak, when you prophesy, when you cast out demons, when you pray for the sick. It's like, boom, it's like lightning speed. I've noticed that. The more I'm in the spirit realm, there's a momentum that's built that's much more powerful. It's like trying to run through a wall. If you push the wall, you can't do it, but you back up and full speed, you break through the wall. So people that are more in the spirit realm have more breakthroughs in their life than those who are more at a stagnant level or only pray when there's a big problem.
Amen, my brother. This, David, you put in bold print, and it says, thanking God in the midst of the impossible will cause God's possible to manifest. Being thankful for what we do have. How important is that with praise?
It's so important, especially when people get discouraged or depressed or about the thing not happening they're praying for. Then I say, just cut it back down to bare basics. Go, wait, praise God, I'm alive. I'm not in jail. Most people, maybe some are listening. I'm not being hunted like ISIS is hunting Christians and cutting their heads off. Hey, okay, so you didn't get the breakthrough or you didn't get the job or someone persecuted you, but look, you're living, you have a car, you eat every day. You have a roof over your head. You just thank you, God, that I have a family, or I have friends, or I have health. Wow, thank you that I have the basic necessities of life. Thank you, God. And when you start with that, and I think Paul and Silas, when they're praising God and thanking God, they're probably thanking God that they're still alive. You know, they're still alive, they're still breathing, they're still able to worship. And then that's when you're thankful, not only does it make you less discouraged, you're like, it lifts your mood, it lifts your spirit. And then when you're thankful, God always does more to bless you. It's like with my kids, if I give them something, an ice cream or something that they, you know, a little gift, and they're, thank you so much, Dad, and you see them so, so happy, it makes you want to give more. But when, let's say a kid during the holidays, that's all the gift I got. Oh, I wanted this, you know, and they're ungrateful. It doesn't make you want to bless them with more. So, but when a kid is so thankful with just, you know, something's basic, it makes you want to bless even more. And that's the same, how much more with God. When we're thankful, he just wants to bless our socks off. But when we're ungrateful with what we already have, and, you know, I wanted this, I wanted that, it doesn't, you know, thankfulness brings the blessing of God. Unthankfulness blocks the blessing.
Mm. You really created a beautiful picture. I mean, we have to remember that he's our Father. He's the Father of all fathers. And I see, and we should all see now, how being thankful is very, very important, and how it does partner with praise, that dynamic weapon that catapults us into our future. Are you ready for number four?
I'm ready.
I am.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready for this one, David. Hidden breakthroughs.
Mm-mm-mm. So a lot of times you think, okay, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been declaring for days, weeks, months, whatever, and I just don't see any sign of anything about to happen. But it feels like it's about to happen. And what's happening is under the surface, it's like if you have a garden outside and you plant something, you don't see it pushing up. Hey, where's the potatoes? Where's the kale? Where's the, I don't see it. But you know it's there. It's under the ground doing its work. If you stop praying, worshiping, thinking, it's basically like you stop watering the ground, then the seed can't sprout. And so you just have to know that under the surface, you're creating huge pressure in the spirit realm, and eventually something's got to give. It will pop up. If Daniel stopped praying on the 20th day of his 21-day fast, he never would have had the angelic encounter. He could have said, man, I've been doing this for 20 days, praying, asking God, nothing's happening, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I guess I'll just stop now, and, you know, so it's up to God if he wants to do something. No, he pressed in one more day. So, and that was, or like having a baby, you feel the contractions, but you have to keep pressing in. So pray without ceasing. The Bible says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And so you have to believe that under the surface, something huge is happening, and when it starts to pop, you'll know. Like Elijah, he told the servant, go look out if there's rain. There was no rain, it was drought. He looked seven times. You know, on the sixth time, he probably said, hey, there's nothing out there. Believe me, I know you're a man of God, but there's nothing there. Go again. Every time he had him look, it was pushing that prophetic word into creation. And on the seventh time, he saw just a really small cloud. I mean, the size of a man's hand. If you're looking up in the sky, that's like almost nothing. So he says, you know, it's not much. There's a little bit of a something out there. The prophet goes, run, it's coming, the rain's coming. So when you start to see the first fruit bud, you know the rest is coming fast. So don't give up. Just keep going until you see the first breakthrough. Just got to do it.
That is so parallel to birthing. So parallel to birthing, having a natural birth, birthing a child.
Have you had children?
You know, yes, I do. I have four awesome children.
Awesome.
And, you know, the thing is, David, the pressure is worse than the pain. The pressure, you know, it's coming. It's coming. And it's happening without you. You know, you don't have to push and press until the very end, truly. But it's coming without you, and the closer that it gets, the more pressure it is. And the faith is not to give up and not to get tired, not to get tired. And you have to continue to let it come. You have to know it's inevitable. That birth is going to come. Nothing is going to stop the process. So you can't give up. you know, as a mother to be, you can't give up and say, I don't want to do this anymore. Now, we do feel that way.
Yeah, my wife, we have three children, and I remember the last one was really hard because she didn't come at 9 months. She came after 9 months. I mean, she waited a couple days after. She was so I never saw my wife as frustrated in my entire life as that one. She would ask me to take her on, this is, we were still living in the mission field, on a dirt road with no, you know, with no street, just bumps. She wanted me to take her on that road so we would bump all the way through the field so that hoping it would get the baby out faster. She was out jogging at 9 months, going out for a jog, as the neighbors thought she was crazy. That's how desperate she was to get this baby to move.
It does make you desperate. I tried double dutch. I was 9 months. My poor husband had a fit at that time. But you're desperate. It's close.
Desperate,
you know,
do
it's
crazy
close.
Things.
Yes, the pressure is there. It's close. You know it's close. You know it's coming. It's inevitable. And sometimes you just get so tired that it either has to come now or you just want to give up, but you can't. Imagine how horrible it would be. Like David said, if you gave up right at the surface, it could have been one more hour or one more day. Please don't give up. Like he said, your breakthrough is there. It's hidden. It's not at the surface, but it's there. If you're continuing having in the Lord's presence and you're declaring and decreeing and you're fasting and you're praising and you're thankful, your birthing is coming.
Amen.
And he went on to talk about exciting double doors. I mean, he didn't say just double doors, ladies and gentlemen. He said exciting double doors. And I like that because that's number five, which is grace. So tell us about the exciting double doors.
Well, once you get through the pressing in and obeying God, and then when the doors open, it's awesome. When you do it right, then God blesses you. The Bible says above what you can ask or think. It doesn't just bless you. It doesn't just do what you're praying for. You think you're praying for this or that, but God's going to go way exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. So that's a huge promise of God. So, well, just like example, like Finland. You know, we went to Finland. I didn't even have a burden to go there. I was in Sweden. I didn't even want to go because it was one meeting in the middle of the country. So I was, okay, I'll go do this little meeting. Then TV opened up. Then the next thing you know, they say, come back. The TV people, let's do two nights in the studio, and then we'll do a meeting. And then the meeting, it was so packed out, 1,800 people showed up in the civic hall. They only fit 1,500. Then they go, well, that is amazing. Let's do the whole country. Let's do 5-6 cities at like a tour, and we'll televise it live. And the next thing you know was the Olympic Stadium. So it was like huge, exciting double doors, but you have to press through to get there. And I didn't even have a desire to go. I gave up. I was like, I'm not going to go. And then they go, no, you're missing God. You got to come to this little meeting. It's important for the whole country. I thought, how could this little meeting in the middle of the country in the woods with like 100 people, 150 people, be important for the entire country?
Wow.
Why can't I just come back another time when I can do 3 days, you know, something more? I thought, how could that be? I have to take a boat from Sweden, 18 hours, arrive, drive 3.5 hours in the middle of nowhere. I just thought, that's a lot of just traveling just for, you know, I can come back and do the meeting, but let's just do three nights, why just one? But no, God had a plan. So a lot of times, once you break through, then the double doors open up, you know, and I've gone many countries where I thought I was just going for one thing, and then the government opens up, and I'm prophesying to the president or the prime minister, or so many times this has happened, and I didn't realize that was going to happen until I got there, but I had to press through. So I just want to give a huge expectation to people this year. Surprise doors, too. Like, you're aiming at one door to open, and when you finally get through that, it might be like 10 doors in that one door. Huge opportunity can start opening up. The greater the battle it took to get there is the greater the opportunity also. My wife always says when she preaches too, the size of your trial is equal to the size of your Goliath is equal to the size of your reward.
That's beautiful. So look what would happen, dear friends, if you gave up because it was so difficult. Look what you'd be giving up. You have no idea of the magnitude of what the Lord had behind those double doors. So in essence, David, we should be rejoicing, be happy when it's difficult. the more difficult it is, the more that Lord has for us. And we have to
press
in. Well,
that's what the Bible says, yeah.
Yes. And you also said here, you said, if you are in the correct position and mindset in God, what do you mean by mindset?
Well, again, what you put your mind on. If you could be praying, you could be praying, amen, thank you, Jesus, this is going to happen, but your mind could be thinking the opposite. You could be praying for, this is something real basic, like, thank you, Lord, you're going to pay the rent by the end of the month. Thank you, Lord, I believe, I've been sowing. But your mind is thinking plan B. Okay, if the Lord doesn't come through, I could sell the car, empty my 401k, which is really a 101k since 2008. I could, call this person. So, like, you're praying plan A, but you're planning plan B, it blocks it. Because your thoughts, you know, it's even science is confirming this now, and the Bible says it, that as a man thinks, so is he, that when you think of something, the thing you're thinking about knows you're thinking about it. Proven. I can't go into detail on this, but it's crazy. When you think about a friend, have you ever thought about someone for a couple days, like, man, I think I need to call this person. And you're about to call them, and they call you that day. And you're like, oh, my gosh, I was just thinking about you. So thoughts create. And in heaven, we communicate by thought. It's not so much having to speak all the time. People just read each other's thoughts. And that's not ESPN. ESPN is a sports channel. That's just God created thought. God created thought, and we communicate by thought. And even subatomic particles get – so when you start thinking, oh, I think I'm going to get cancer, just even thinking it, the body can start creating according to what you're thinking, proven by the Bible, and now science, latest discoveries, quantum physics are saying – that subatomic particles can be created by thinking about them at high enough intensity. And then faith is a substance of something you're hoping for. So can fear is faith in reverse. So I like to say it this way. Faith is a sub... When you have faith, you have the beginning subatomic particle of the matter that you're believing for. It already starts to form at a subatomic level. Anyway, I don't know how I got there.
Because, hey, we're in that age. Are you kidding? The scientific,
yeah,
technological age. But
confirming
you know what
Bible,
David
yeah.
is saying? Don't sabotage yourself by your thoughts. Your thoughts
exactly.
are powerful. Your words have the power. But if you continue to think those things, you're going to move on what it is that you're thinking. You know, it's like my... You know, when my children are younger, they're all grown now. You know, I know my children, and, you know, they had this face on. I knew what they were thinking. Their mind was saying, yes, Mom. I knew what they were thinking, and I would look at them and say, you know what, I know what you're thinking. And they'd look at me like, what? Listen, God knows what you're thinking.
Yeah, they
He's
would
your
say,
father.
Oh, I didn't say that. Yeah, but I know you thought it.
Yes, He knows your thoughts before you're even thinking them. So don't sabotage yourself. Like David said, listen, get your mindset on God. Get your mindset on God. And when those things creep in your mind, and they will, cast that thought down. Take control of what's going through your head so that you're not sabotaging what needs to come out your mouth.
Well,
that was
there's
good,
a scripture
David,
that says that he'll do above what you ask or think. So a lot of times there's a scripture that says he'll do above what you can ask or think. So we could be asking right, but not thinking right. When the two are aligned, then there's breakthrough. So like when you pray for someone with cancer, you go, Jesus name, cancer, go. Your mind should be, you should be having a picture of it shrinking while you're saying that. Because if Jesus said he'll do above what you ask or think, it's possible to just think, like think it as a prayer and still see a miracle. I experimented with this. I was in Topeka, Kansas, 700 people. I was preaching this. He'll do about what you ask or think. And then I had a word of knowledge. I said, is somebody here, your hair, you're an older man in your 70s. You have white hair, but he's reversing your age. And your hair's turning black. Check your hair. Well, in the front row, there was a woman there with her husband, and she was going, oh, my gosh. And his hair started turning black in the front. It was white as a ghost, and it turned black. So I pulled him up front on the stage. Everyone was like, wow. So the front part of his hair turned black. The back was still white. It wasn't done yet. So I turned him around. I said, now we're going to do what you ask or think. I want all 700 people just to stare at the back of his head, his white head. But I want you to think. I want you to see it as if it's black. Because the Bible says he'll do what you ask or think. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. He already started it. And so I just want you to, I don't want you to look, I said, and just hope it, oh, is this going to work? I want you, everyone in the audience, to see the rest of his hair as black. And we wait about 5 minutes, and the whole back of his head starts turning black in front of everybody.
Wow.
Like, oh, my God. And then the faith level exploded. You know, the speckled lambs, unspeckled lambs, what they looked at, they became the unspeckled. As far as you see, I give to you, as a man thinks, so is he. Think on these things, good, righteous, noble. So I did an experiment where, okay, I would pray for an hour or something. I would do that. I would pray for an hour, and then I would take another hour, and I wouldn't pray. I would just see it in my mind by faith, in the spirit, everything I'm praying for, the nations, Australia opening up, this door, that door. And during the second hour of just seeing it, not saying it, I would see sometimes even more breakthrough. I would get calls from nations that I was just seeing in the spirit realm for that hour. Because
look
when
at
you
that.
Think about something
look
at that high-def intensity, it creates the thing you're thinking about knows you're thinking about it and starts to manifest in your time realm. And it doesn't know when you're thinking. Your body doesn't even know. When you're watching a movie, an action movie, your body doesn't know it's not real. Your body starts, or your heart goes really fast, or your emotions. You know, the Titanic, Jack, you know. But that, and that's why also the Bible says, like, if you look at something wrong, like David with Bathsheba, or if you look at someone in lust, it's as if you committed it because there's no time. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about someone that hurt your feelings when you were a kid, or someone that rejected you, or someone, or your dad that wasn't there, you can start feeling anger and upset. If you meditate on the negative long enough, your body starts to get toxins in the bloodstream. So just thoughts can create. It's so powerful. But I'm not saying mind over matter. I'm saying think on the things that God already told you he's going to do.
Right.
I want to think on these things, things that are good, righteous. I'm not talking about some new age thing where you just imagine what you want or something. I'm talking about what God already told you in his word or he prophesied to you. There's nothing wrong with thinking about it. Because Abraham, as many stars as you see, I'm going to give you children. Because he's not living in the desert, basically. So every night he had a visual to help create that. So I don't know if that helps, but put it before you in your mind. We can spend an hour praying for something, but we think about it for a few seconds. Train yourself to think about it in the spirit as a prayer longer, and it's amazing the results you see.
And as you do that, go to the scripture that David was mentioning, talking to you about, is Ephesians 3:20. So as you do that, as you train your mind to do that, study the scripture with that. And 6 is shaking, David.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Shaking.
I heard the sound of that one. Ooh. Shaking.
Well, you don't have to be prophetic to know they're shaking. You just turn on the news, you can see it. But Jesus prophesied,
yes.
You know, okay, in the last days there'll be wars, rumors of wars. You got the Russia thing, Ukraine, pestilence, you got the Ebola, earthquakes in various places. We're seeing all this stuff already, and it's just increasing like contractions on the earth. And then, you know, I mean, some people are really going to denial, like, no, nothing bad is ever going to happen. God is good. Yeah, God is good, but in the earth realm, things are happening. So I see two kind of prophetic. I see some that want to go extreme denial. The other go extreme, you know, God's good, which is good, but taking out the reality of what's happening on the earth. So you have to know the reality on the earth, but then have the heavenly perspective to change it. You can't say nothing bad is happening, then how can you change things on the earth if there's nothing to believe God to change? So I'm kind of in the middle where Elisha, gets surrounded by the Syrian army. Okay, that's natural. Oh, my gosh, look what's happening. His
mm-hmm.
servant freaks out and goes, like, basically, we're dead, you know. But then the prophet prays, Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he can see the spiritual, the heavenly army. He opens his eyes, and suddenly he could see huge, huge millions of angels and chariots and horsemen. And then the fear was gone. So my thing is, the shakings are coming. You see it, but you won't have to be shaken in it. In fact, Egypt got really shaken. Their economy, frogs, locusts, I mean, the firstborn dying. But not for the Israelites in Egypt. There was light. There was favor. There was healing. There was deliverance out of Egypt. There was prosperity. I mean, all the gold and silver got given to them. So that's what I believe. Either you're going to be shaken when things come if you're not ready, or you already saw it coming and you pre-position yourself for the harvest. When a tree starts to shake, all the fruit starts falling off. So I'm going to be the harvester. So Jesus says these signs will come. All this is going to happen. But then he goes, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth. Then the end. So I'm going to be of the but this gospel part. I'm not going to be worried about, you know, because we have so much. We have God, we have protection, we have, I mean, even Paul, they had a hard time killing him. He gets shipwrecked, bit by a snake, riots. I mean, this guy just kept going. So I believe
yes.
The greater the shaking, the greater the glory, the power, and even the wealth transfer will happen when the earth and the world system is being shaken, which is what God's trying to do. God's people will be the solution in the midst of it. The kings will call you and say, what's the solution? Or the souls will get saved very, very easily. So I'm actually really excited about the shakings because he's shaking for a harvest.
So am I, David. And that takes us to number 7. And you said in 2015 will be the greatest opportunity for harvest.
I believe that. And again, because you see the shakings increasing, you know the harvest is ripe. Another sign, too, is Romans 11. When the Jews start getting saved, you know the Gentile harvest is right after, because the Bible says the gospel is to the Jew first. Paul was called to the Gentiles. He was an apostle of the Gentiles, but his strategy was he went to the Jew first, everywhere he went. He would maybe only win a few, and they would get really upset and riots, and Romans would have to get him out. But then his Gentile harvest would explode. And I'm seeing Jewish people coming to the Lord in the USA now. We just did an outreach in Philadelphia at a Jewish center. And I just got an email yesterday. They want the manager of the Jewish center wants us to come back to do another evangelistic. I mean, that's unheard of. And people got saved. And a lady came out with a wheelchair. Bald guys started growing hair. All Jewish people. We did a Jewish event and salvations. And, I mean, normally that doesn't happen. Israel, we're seeing the same thing. We go to Israel. In New York, we saw 400 Jews saved in 1 hour, Russian Jews. We did an outreach to them, invited them to come hear about the supernatural. So something is going on. So if they're getting saved, the last huge harvest in America was in the 60s, in the 70s, you know, the Jesus movement. You know, there's the hippie thing, and then suddenly there was this revival that was breaking out in the midst of it. Well, that was the time when more Jews got saved in America than any other time. If you think of known Jewish ministries today, most of them got saved during that time. And then that's when churches and congregations in Israel started flourishing. So we're seeing this again. We're starting to see the Jews coming to the Lord, which means the Gentiles, you know, the average Joe, is coming to the Lord this year all around the world. So it's super exciting. Russia-Ukraine is a huge thing, the war between these two. But at the same time, there's huge, huge, huge opportunities. There's also, I've been in Russia, I've been to Ukraine the last couple of years, a lot of revival going on in those nations, like crazy. So when you see the natural, oh my gosh, this war and everything, behind the scenes there's a huge revival. There's a spiritual war going on.
It is exciting to see. It's so clear. It's so easy to see. You don't have to be a prophet to see what's going on. And it is amazing to me that with all the wars that there are, and even in ancient times, even to date, the catalyst is religion. Isn't that amazing? The catalyst is religion. The people are fighting over religion. And,
yep.
You know, your 7 and 8 tie together. You were talking about that there's going to be an increase in the salvations and move of God, and we're seeing that. Battle for souls, global repositioning occurring. And you said we have to prepare for the great harvest of souls that's coming in the midst of the shakings. And 8 was, you were talking about surrounded by armies. You know, the numbers that are around them, there are greater numbers of armies around us. And you gave the example of Elisha and the Syrian army. But I want people to understand that in how what they have to do to be ready, you know, how to prepare. And that's where the glory comes in. And if you could talk about the glory of God and how to experience his glory. What is that people have to do in order to be filled with the glory of God so that they'll
sure.
be effective in the being a vessel for God?
Okay, well, the first thing, there's different things. First things first. The Bible says, who can climb the mountain of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. So if there's any hidden sin in our lives, we have to say, God, I repent. Cleanse me of this. Wash me in your blood. Not condemnation, not legalism, but just, Lord, there's something in my life isn't right. I don't want this to block the glory of God. So sin blocks the heavens, for sure. And no, so daily, I take a shower every day. So I take a blood shower. Every day I wake up, Lord, cleanse me with your blood. Wash me, my ear gates, my mind, my thoughts, anything I've heard, seen, anything. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But sometimes things come on you. So daily, don't let it stay. That's the key. And that keeps the heavens open. So first, daily, repentance. Lord, just cleanse me with your blood. Wash me. Some people in some circles, they think holy is a four-letter word. Oh, wait, it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. they connect it with legalism. You know, like, oh, that's, but I'm not talking about legalism or the length of your hair or outward, just your heart being right. You know, you're forgiving when you're hurt or you're whatever, or something you watch on TV, an image that's wrong, flashes. Oh, Lord, cleanse that from my mind. No, I don't want that in anything that would hinder your walk with God. And then after, you know, you do that, search your heart, there's nothing that you know. Then praise and worship is huge. It's the, like we talked about that. Praise and worship propels you into the supernatural really fast. Then if you want to bump it up even more, fasting and praying with praise and worship, with cleansing your heart. And even there's other things you can do too. Giving is a huge thing. If you look into Malachi, test me the giving and see if I don't open the windows of heaven. It's not talking about just financial blessing. You can, you know, Acts 4, not Acts 2, but Acts 4, when the glory fell and Peter's shadow healed the sick and the place was shaken, right before it says, and they were giving even homes and lands at the feet of the apostles. So sacrificial giving at times when you need a breakthrough, combined with fasting, prayer, worship, can do a huge, huge breakthrough. Elijah, false prophets of Baal, he puts a sacrifice on the altar, fire from heaven comes. So blood and sacrifice, you could have a maintenance Christian life where you're just maintaining where you're at, but you're not sacrificing. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but what's even better is obedience with sacrifice. So I say there's maintenance prayer life and there's breakthrough prayer life. There's maintenance giving, there's breakthrough giving. There's maintenance worship and then breakthrough worship. And so we're in the season now where we want breakthrough, so we want to go to the next level in the water. We don't want to just go ankle deep. You want to go knee deep, waist deep, and just go for it this year in every area. And that'll propel you in the glory.
So during a recap, you said there's maintenance and then there's breakthrough.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, and you said daily repentance. Daily repentance. It doesn't matter who we are or how holy we think we are. Daily repentance. And then you said praise and worship. And then fasting and prayer. And giving. Giving and sacrificial giving. And did I hear you say obedience, David?
Well, what I said was obedience is better than sacrifice. So a lot of Christians say, well, I'm obedient. I go to church. I get my tithes. I pray, you know, 30 minutes a day, and I do the basics, and I'm pretty content where I'm at, and nothing major awesome is happening, but nothing bad. I'm not really sinning that I know of. Yeah, that's fine if you want to stay there. But I tell people, do you want to go to the next level? Then you've got to do something you've never done before to get to the next level. A lot of times that's why Daniel fasted and prayed. He didn't just have a prayer. He goes, you know what, I'm going to press in till this promise comes. So, again, there's seasons in your life where you have to press in deeper to get the breakthrough. And so that's what I – and of course, there's the Word of God, declaring the Word, your thoughts, your everything. But those things, you know, all through the Bible, sacrifice, prayer, fasting. When you're desperate, you'll do desperate things. Some – you know, when the boy was throwing himself in the fire, the apostles, they couldn't cast it out for some reason. And Jesus goes, oh, this kind comes up by prayer and fasting. So there's different levels of stuff. Principalities are different than just a demon in a person. Principality of a whole territory is going to take more than just a quick little prayer.
It's okay if we go over a few minutes, David, because I really am hoping that you will explain to the audience how to and the importance of becoming intimate with our Father. Yeah, and how to become intimate, what being intimate with our Father means. This isn't something that is really talked about a lot in churches, but it's so important to have an intimate relationship with our Father God.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to get to the point where you're not just praying just to get needs answered or things met. I every day go pray because I just want to be in the presence of God. I just love God. So basically, you're loving on him. You have to come to the realization. Mindset has to be, I love you, God. Even if I don't have to ask for anything, even if you don't do anything for me today, I just want to be with you because I love you. And that's got to be the point. That's got to be the main purpose in it all. It's intimacy. Jesus just wanted to be with his Father. He spent all night just to be with him. It wasn't just to get power or just to get an answer or just to get direction. It was, I want to be with you, God. I just want you. And when you get satisfied and happy just to be with him, then the rest comes. Okay. Some people look at God like a sugar daddy, like, oh, I'll marry this old rich man, so I'll have all my needs met. So they go to God just to get stuff. But it's got to be way deeper than that. You know, it's got to be, even if I die, Lord, for you, but I love you. I'm going to go to this nation that you told me to go. I'm going to do that. It's just, there's just this, it's hard to explain intimacy until you've experienced it. It's kind of like trying to talk to a little kid that's 10 years old and goes, you know, when you fall in love, you know, you'll know, you know. And they're like, oh, she's got the cooties. I don't like girls. Okay, well, you'll know one day. You
know? I know.
One day when you get older. So it's kind of hard to explain if you've not been there. So people listening, if they know intimacy,
yeah.
They know what I'm talking about. Those who never had it, you might start off as, I'm just a servant of God. I'm just a slave of God. I'm just a bond servant. That's fine to start with, but then you become intimate. Then you become his best friend. Then you got to see yourself as daddy's girl. If you're a girl, daddy's son, if you're a boy. So people come to me with the titles, oh, I'm a bishop, I'm an apostle. And when they overly push the titles, I always tell them, oh, that's great. I'll put in a good word for you. Well, who are you? Oh, I'm the boss's son. So I'll put in a good word for you at work and let the boss know that you're doing a good job. Because a son is higher than even a title. You get it?
Yes.
So I go, oh, wow, you have that job? That's great. I'll tell the boss you're doing a good job. Who happens to be my dad. And they get, you know, so a son and a daughter is higher positioned than, see, it's intimacy. It's relationship. In the Jewish culture, which the Bible is written with a Jewish mindset, it's mishpacha, which is family, which is, but the Gentile is kind of like the Roman system. It's hierarchy. It's, well, I'm above you. And that's how a lot of the Gentile church sees, you know, portrays the gospel, or tries to, it's not that way. It's just, look, God, I love you. I just want to be with you. You're my dad. I can't live without you. And King David would talk, if you read the way he would write, it was really intimate. Even Elisha with Elijah, Elisha called Elijah Abba, which is really intimate, like father, like a, and that he didn't follow Elijah just to get his double portion only. He actually loved Elijah. I believe he cared for him, and he wanted to, it's kind of like if your dad had a big dream to build some project or help orphans or do something, and he died before you could finish it, and you have the chance to do it in his name, you'd want to finish it in his honor, you know? And that's kind of it's hard to explain, especially for a guy trying to explain to people.
Actually, you're doing really well.
But I'll just be
even
with God,
as a guy.
Just weep before the Lord because his love is so strong,
yeah.
His grace is so strong. That's why I joined this whole thing. When I found that God and got filled with the Holy Spirit, the love and the presence of God was so strong. I said, God, I just want to be with you, whatever that means. So I thought in my mind, if I go in the ministry, then I get to be with him more because that's my main job, is to be with him and then share what he's saying. So that's pretty much got to be the passion. Just want to be, you know.
David, that's a beautiful.
One day your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere.
That's a beautiful way you explained it. I mean, you're right. If you're not weeping because your love is so great for him, and I don't mean crying, I mean just weeping because you love him so much, then you're not there. You're not at that intimate level. It's like when David was talking about a father and children. When you know how you feel when your child comes up to you and they just want to hug you and hold you and they say, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. And they just melt in your arms. That's the love, you know, that he's talking about. That intimate feeling that you don't want to be anywhere else. You don't want to do anything to hurt them, or you don't want to do anything that disappoints them because you're in love with him. And that is where we all need to be, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you want to strive for. That's what's real. That's pure love. And when you have it, you know it. And that's where his glory works best. Doesn't it, David?
Oh, it's exactly. You just nailed it right on the head.
You actually become one with the God of miracles, signs, and wonders, and he is one in you.
Awesome.
David, thank you so much for joining us today on the broadcast. Because, ladies and gentlemen, here's what David did. He took a prophecy, a word that the Lord has placed in his belly, in his heart, to deliver to the people of God. And he broke it down and simplified it so we could understand it and follow it and move forward into the promises that the Lord has already set up for us. He made it uncomplicated and simplified, because it doesn't have to be complicated. And I'm hoping that you take the time to listen to the broadcast over and over, because once it's concluded, it will immediately be saved in an archive. There is absolutely no reason why each and every one who is a believer that loves the Lord, that takes a look at this and makes a decision in their heart, in their mind, to set their mind on our Father, to follow those four, repent, remember those, to follow those and listen to it again, daily repentance, praise and worship, fasting and prayer, giving and sacrificial giving, that you won't be in a position where the Lord can bless you royally and use you mightily. David is infamous for helping people understand, getting a fresh revelation of the Word of God. And David, your website, can you let everyone know where they can go and check your website out? You have a couple of things going on very soon. I think next week, Las Vegas, and in April, you have a Passover Glory Festival. Can you let them know how they can contact you and find out about your schedule?
Yeah, you go to the website, theglorizone.org, theglorizone.org, and then on the top you'll see itinerary. You can click that. If you want to get the books, we have what I'm talking about, Glory Invasion, Mysteries of the Glory Unveiled. My wife's got an awesome book, God is Your Matchmaker, if you're single and trying to figure out why it's not happening and what can you do or what are you doing wrong maybe that's blocking. I'll be in Las Vegas the first weekend of February. I'll be in Honolulu speaking second weekend of February. And then I'll be in Montreal, Canada, French-speaking Canada, in a big meeting end of February, the last weekend. And see, where am I going to be in March? I can't remember where I'm going to be. March, I'm going to be somewhere, first weekend of March, somewhere in the world. I promise I'll be in the world. Last weekend of March, I will be in Ohio. I don't know why I can't remember the first weekend of March, something. I'm somewhere.
No.
Somewhere important. I know it is important. I just can't remember at this moment. But, yeah, you can look at the website. And we'd love to have you guys come out. And then our conferences, yeah, the Passover conference during Passover, because there's always an open heaven during these feast times, we've noticed just over the years. It's like, wow, something's strong during that time. So we do our conferences at that time. It's going to be really awesome. We have a lot of prophetic signs and wonders, the glory, revelation. People just come out of there super, super charged and blessed. It's just going to be really fun right in Sedona. So we'd love to have you guys all come out. We'll have other prophets with us and get people moving in signs and wonders. I think Bobby Connor's going to be here, Joshua Mills, and some awesome worship teams, and my wife and I. It's going to be great.
Yes, I'm actually looking at your website now. It is amazing what you have coming up. And there are so many singles that are praying for husbands and believing for husbands and wives this year. So how wonderful for your wife to have a book out right now for a time such as this. And not to mention that you have a newly released book as well, The Glory Zone, correct?
No, The Glory Zone is the name of our website. We have like seven books. I have The Glory Invasion, and then there's Mysteries of the Glory Unveiled.
Yeah.
There's Ancient Portals of Heaven. There's Desperate for New Wine. There's a 50-day devotional, Living in the Glory Every Day.
David,
called The Courts of
Heaven.
How
do you have time to travel around the world and then write?
I don't know. A lot of all-nighters, tell you that. Well, sometimes,
so please
like,
check
a lot
the
of times, like Ancient Portals of Heaven was written during a revival in Colorado in 08, or it was 08, I was there 6 weeks, so every 5 nights a week doing revival. It was just a lot of late nights, you know, stay up late sometimes till 4 a.m. writing, and everyone's asleep, and it's just, you just do it. I don't know how to explain it. I guess if you want to, do something, you find the time. It's just about it. Making the time, especially when there's a deadline, the publisher says you have to have this in by this day, that kind of motivates you to get it done faster.
Well, the Lord is truly using you mightily. There's nothing more valuable than a fresh revelation when so many people are hungry to know what to do, the right thing to do, and to have some direction and some comfort. And I just thank you so much for taking the time and being with us today, especially when you just got back to the United States. You took time for us, and we appreciate you for doing that.
Well, thank you so much. You're a great host, and I appreciate all you're doing. And you're getting the word out there like crazy with your radio program, and God's using you really powerfully to get all this out there around the world. So I really appreciate what you're doing and the awesome ministry that you have.
Thank you, David. I love him. I love him like you love him. I fight for his lap. I'm trying to get to his lap before you do.
I'll try to beat you there.
I know.
Yeah, everyone's like, he said, I'm his loved one. Oh, really? That's what he told me yesterday.
I know. Listen, and we're all saying, no, me, it's me. But... Ladies and gentlemen, there's room for all of us in our Father's humongous lap. So why don't we just take the plunge and go for all that we believe in this year and just give him all of us. Why don't we just do that? Why don't we give him all of us so that we can be the tools that he needs, the vessels that he needs to win the lost, to bring clarity to the confused, and bring his glory to the earth. So, David, I hope you have time to come on at another time. I'll try to catch you between such things. I definitely hope that you have time to come with us after your Passover Glory Festival, because I believe that there is going to be some miracles that need to be shared.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. We should do some words of knowledge and something like that on the next show. There'd probably be a lot of healings and miracles on the air. That'd be great.
Yes. I would like
that. Are we still live?
We are still live.
Awesome.
I would like that. And you heard him. I think he just spoke it out. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a commitment. So, again, thank you for being joining us today on Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with our special guest, Dr. David Herzog, with a powerful prophecy of our Father that a year of opportunity with major shifts and breakthrough this year for all of those that believe and love the Lord. So we're believing that there will be many, many testimonies of great joy shared and just unfathomable things that has happened to the believers. And we look forward to hearing about them. Send me emails to Dr. Beverly L. Swanson at gmail.com. If you want to take a look at the website, go to drbeverlylswanson.com. There's wisdom messages there for you and many other things. But most importantly, again, thank you for being with us today, because I do believe that the information that was shared with you today will assist in propelling you forward into what is promised with you this year. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Dr. David Herzog.
It was fun. It was wonderful.
Okay. All right.